Luke's Gospel in chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to read, please, from verse 20. He, that is the Lord Jesus, said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. Now down, please, lower in the chapter to verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, that could be translated lifted up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Now, no doubt God will bless to us his precious word as well as what we've already heard. Now, most of you will know that when I have a series of gospel meetings, I like to follow a theme. And so over these next number of days, I'm going to follow a theme. I want to speak about the last journey that it was ever taken by the Lord Jesus. It is of great interest to me that from the beginning of chapter 1 of Luke's gospel, up until where we read, over 33 years of the life of the Lord Jesus is covered. But from this point and onward, down to chapter 23, the very last journey is covered. And it was only a matter of a few weeks. So that tells me that to Luke at least, this last journey ever taken by the Lord Jesus was of supreme importance. And as we go down through the chapters, we'll discover many references to or allusions to this last journey that he ever took. We'll see that as we proceed over these next number of days. So I want you to notice, please, back in verse 22, that the Lord Jesus indicates that he knew how this journey would end. He knew how this journey would end. He says, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and raised the third day. He knew how the journey would end. I wonder, do each one of us here this evening know how our journey will end? We're on a journey through life. Do you know how your journey will end? Because it will end, won't it? I'm sure we all realize that. When you're young, perhaps it's hard to really get your thoughts around the fact that life is not forever. We're not going to live forever. This journey is going to come to an end. I'm thinking of a tragic situation just yesterday. 29 people traveling in a bus in Saskatchewan, yesterday afternoon, looking forward to a hockey match that same evening, not knowing they would never finish that journey. And not knowing that of the 29, 15 would never see the evening. and most of them, bear in mind, were actually teenagers. Just teenagers. No doubt they thought that there was a whole lot of life that still lay before them. They did not know they were not going to see the end of yesterday. Do you know how your journey will end? Or when it will end? None of us know. That's why it's so important that we make preparation for the end of the journey. The Lord Jesus knew how the journey would end. He also knew what would follow his death. Because it says here, and on the third day, be raised again. He knew what would follow his death. Do you not know what will follow your death? We read in Hebrews chapter 9, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, that's the big question, isn't it? What follows death? Is death just the end of everything? Am I no different from a cabbage? A cabbage will just die and it will decompose into the ground again. The end of the cabbage. But it's not the same for you and me. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. You see, when God created man, he created him a creature for eternity. So whether you like it or not, you are going to exist somewhere forever. Whether with Christ in heaven or in the lake of fire with the devil and his angels. One of those two is your ultimate destination. And in either case, you will exist there forever. Okay. The important thing I want us to see is that even though he knew what lay at the end of the journey, he was determined to take it. We read, he set his face steadfastly to go toward Jerusalem. Often, it's been quoted, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. The Bible never actually says that. This is the nearest we've got to it. He set his face steadfastly to go toward Jerusalem. Now, if you knew at the end of a certain journey you were going to die, what would you do about it? What would I do about it? I'm sure each one of us would make a change in our plans. We would decide we're not going to go on that journey. We're going to have a different end than that end. But not so the Lord Jesus. Even though he knew that at the end of that journey, he was going to be betrayed into the hands of the Romans and be crucified, which is one of the most painful forms of execution ever devised by men. And die. Yet he was determined he was going to take the journey. If you knew what the end of your journey was going to be, would you still be just as determined to take that journey? If you knew that at the end of the journey of life, you were going to die without Christ, without your sins forgiven. Would you persist in taking that journey? Not a very wise thing to do, is it? Because if you die without Christ, you die without hope. Now then, why was it that the Lord Jesus was determined to take this last journey? The simple answer is, this is the whole purpose for which he came into the world. It was what was going to take place at the end of the journey that was the reason why he came into the world. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hebrews says, he became a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. It was the very reason for which he came into the world. It's interesting to me that not only did the Lord Jesus predict on this occasion what would happen at the end of this journey, but this was just the first of at least three different occasions when he forewarned the disciples what was going to take place at the end of this journey. Not only so, but we could go back into the Old Testament scriptures and we would find in the Old Testament scriptures that the Old Testament predicted the death of Christ upon the cross. Psalm 22, for example, begins with the words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Are those words familiar to you? Why, they're the very words that were uttered by the Lord Jesus when he was in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the whole of that psalm, 31 verses, is taken up exclusively with the death of Christ upon the cross, written 1,000 years before he was born. And there's such a graphic description of death by crucifixion in the psalm at a time when crucifixion hadn't even been invented yet. So much so that we actually read the words, they pierced my hands and my feet. We could make reference to many other passages in the Old Testament too that predict the death of Christ upon the cross. You see, before ever earth's foundation was laid, God knew exactly what would happen to the human race. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin against God, and he knew that the whole human race would turn its back upon God. And he pre-planned that his own Son should come to be the Redeemer. Peter tells us he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you. So that we read, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The next question is, why was it necessary for Christ to be crucified? Well, we've already heard that this evening. Someone had to pay the price for our sin. Someone had to pay the price. And God willingly gave his own Son, the Lord Jesus, to pay the price. For God so loved the world. So is such a very small word, isn't it? But we could never possibly measure the meaning of that word in that context. For God so loved the world. Who's that? Why, that's everybody. That's every single person that has ever been in the world. That's every person that ever will be in the world. God loves everybody without exception. And God loves us without condition. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Why? In order that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, in those 3 hours of darkness, God laid upon Christ the iniquity of us all. That's what we read, by the way, in Isaiah chapter 53, written over 700 years before Christ was born. The Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And there in the darkness of the cross, Christ was punished as though he was the sinner, in order to make salvation available to you and me, in order that we might be able to have our sins forgiven. But does that mean that because Christ died on the behalf of the whole world, that the whole world necessarily is saved? No, of course it doesn't. But what it does mean is that there is nobody living in this world who couldn't possibly be saved. You can be saved because Christ paid the price for you. Our headline verse tonight says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," who's that? That's anybody. "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That was why it was necessary that Christ should die upon the cross. And oh, by the way, he's not dead, you know. Most of you will probably remember the story I told of a man who was at an art competition. And he was looking at this piece of art that depicted the death of Christ upon the cross. And he was gazing at this picture. And a little boy came up to him, and presuming that the man didn't know about the Lord Jesus, he began to tell him the story of Christ. That he was God's eternal Son. And that he came down from heaven and lived a perfect sinless life, and then he died on our behalf upon the cross. And then the little boy wandered away. And the man continued looking at that picture. All of a sudden he felt a pull in his coattail, and here was this same little boy. And the little boy said to him, "Oh, sir, I forgot to tell you. He rose again from the dead on the third day. And Christ rose again triumphantly. That's why he is able to save, because he not only paid the price upon the cross, but he rose triumphantly from amongst the dead. And he's alive." If you and I could take a trip to heaven tonight, and could approach the throne of God, there's a man, a real man, God's eternal Son, sitting on God's throne, and he's as real as this podium. He's the Savior. My final question is, What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because you do have to do something about it. You can't sit on the fence. There's no sitting on the fence. The Lord Jesus says, you're either for me or you're against me. What's it going to be? Are you going to persist on this journey through life, heading in the same direction as you've been heading until this point in time? Are you so stubborn that you're not going to change course? And you're not going to trust Christ as your Savior? Or are you going to do what Norman did? Admit that you're a sinner and that you're heading down to hell, but that Christ died for you. And will you trust Him? Will you receive Him as your Savior? John tells us He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. That is, the world refused to acknowledge Him. He came unto His own, that's the Jew, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, that's a conscious choice. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to be called children of God, even to them that believe on His name. So are you going to admit your need tonight and simply by faith receive Christ as your Savior? The Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You call upon Him as a sinner, and the moment you do so, you'll be as safe as though you were already in heaven. Trust that God will bless His word to each one.